House, come to order. Members indicate your presence by voting. Madam Clerk.
25 members present.
We do have a quorum to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, may the journal reflect that Representative Foster and Wyrock have previously been excused from the call of the House. Mr. Speaker, on a point of personal privilege, there is a card that's going to be traveling through for our good friend from Nome, and I'd like to have that passed around this morning if at all possible.
Those members will be shown as excused, as indicated by the Majority Leader. Leading the invocation this morning is Representative Capson. Members, please rise for the invocation.
In recognition of the various spiritual beliefs present, I offer this invocation. Dear Lord, help us find balance during this difficult time, balance between family and work, between public and private. Help us to see the grave importance of our work here today without becoming self-important. Help us to behave sincerely and reasonably toward others and not cause confusion or sorrow to anyone. Help us all to love our enemies, those who defame and injure us. Help us grant us the spirit of Christian reconciliation and meekness that we may heartily forgive every injury and be reconciled with our enemies. Please keep Richard Foster in your prayers during his recovery, as well as those fighting abroad for our freedom. In your name we pray, Jesus Christ Almighty. Amen.
Amen. President Crawford, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative McGuire.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that that thoughtful prayer be sprinkled.
Without objection, that prayer will be spread across the journal. Madam Clerk, do you certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 28th legislative day of the second special session.
Majority.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 28th legislative day of the second special session be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Hearing no objection, then the journal will be certified as presented by the Chief Clerk. Their guest for introduction this morning, Representative Lynn.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure this morning to introduce John and Thea Priest. They are from Rancho Palos Verdes, California, and they know where my previous abode was in Moreno Valley. And they came up with the Norwegian wind, and I would appreciate if everybody would give them a welcome to the great state of Alaska.
Any other guests for introduction? Are there messages from the governor?
I have no messages from the governor.
Are there messages from the other body?
Message dated June 6, 2006 was received stating the Senate failed to concur in the House amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill number 2001 Fin, namely House CS for CS for Senate Bill number 2001 Fin MH relating to the production tax on oil, and respectfully request the House to recede from its amendment. In the event the House does not recede, the President appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House: Senator Stedman, Chair; Senator Huggins; Senator French.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recede from its amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 2001 Finance, namely the House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 2001 Finance, amended House. And I recommend that the members vote no.
You ready for the question? The question is, shall the House recede from its amendments? That's adopting House committee substitute for Senate Bill 2001. Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
5 yeas, 27 nays.
So the vote of 5 yeas and 27 nays, the House has failed to recede from its amendments. Are there any other messages from the other body?
I have no further messages from the other body.
Are there any communications?
I have no communications.
Are there any reports to standing committees?
There are no reports to standing committees.
At this time, the House will stand in recess through the briefings. House, come back to order. We'll retract that motion on my part. Representative Cott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move that we bring up reconsideration of Senate Bill 2002 at this time.
At ease. House, come back to order. There is a motion for reconsideration. Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I move to table this motion until such time as the other body concurs with the House version in Senate Bill 2001.
There's an objection to the table motion. It is not time specific, so it is debatable. Is there any debate on the motion to table? Are you ready for the question?
Thank you very much. Let me just explain the motion a little bit before, since it hasn't done. 2002 is part of a package of bills that are related to the gas pipeline contract, or the proposed gas pipeline contract. It seems precipitous of us to be acting on any of those bills until we've seen the entire contract. We haven't seen that contract. We haven't seen the LLC, for example. There's little pieces of it that keep dribbling out. There's more information being presented from our experts who are testifying even now as we speak. I also feel that we made a strong statement yesterday about what we thought the oil tax should be. People have made the claim that there is linkage between the oil tax and the bills related to this gas pipeline contract. If there's linkage, let there be linkage. If we really believe that the oil tax is contingent upon these other items, let's link them. And so I'm saying that if these guys want to play with us on 2002, 2003, 2004, they've got to start by taking our version of 2001.
Okay, now you're ready for the question? Everybody understand what's on the table, so to speak.
Motion.
The motion is to table the reconsideration motion, which was offered by Representative Cott, which was available yesterday when the motion to reconsider was put on the table. So we have that motion offered, and now there's a motion to table that until the other body accepts our version of what we passed and what's in conference now. You ready for the question? The question is the table motion. Members, please. Vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
11 yeas, 24 nays.
So with a vote of 11 yeas and 24 nays, the motion to table has failed. Brings the motion for reconsideration back before us. Are you ready for the question? Representative Cott? Representative Cott?
I'll yield to my colleague.
There's a number. At ease. Now let's come back to order. House, come back to order. Are you ready for the question? Representative Cott.
Speaker, I move that we rescind our action and adopting Amendment Number 1. I move that we return to second reading for the purposes of...
We are, the motion is to go back to second reading for the purposes of a specific action. Is there any objection to going back to second reading for the purposes of a specific action? That action being the motion to rescind our action adopting Amendment Number 1. Is that the motion? Amendment Number 1? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House rescind its action in adopting... No, there wasn't any objection to going back to second. So we're in second reading, and we will stay in second reading until all the motions are taken care of. The motion is to rescind our action in adopting Amendment Number 1. Representative Cott, is that correct?
That's correct.
Just, Representative Cott, can you explain what Amendment Number 1 was?
Mr. Speaker, in a nutshell, Amendment Number 1 was the amendment that allowed for the 90 days public comment period.
Representative Dahlstrom?
If I understand this correctly, if I vote no, I'm giving my constituents less time to comment on this most crucial, critical issue, probably the biggest deal our state will ever participate in. And, you know, I work for the people, and in all good conscience, I cannot take that right and that privilege away from them. And so I need to be a yes vote on this.
At ease. House, go back to order. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm glad that I prefaced my previous comments with, if I understand this correctly, because the peers here in the body did share some information with me. I won't repeat what I said. You all have very excellent memories. I will be a no vote on this. I don't want to take that right away from the people in the state of Alaska to comment on this most critical issue. Thank you.
Just so that it's clear, because sometimes it's confusing, a yes vote rescinds our action in adopting Amendment Number 1, which was 90 days, which gave 90 days. The bill before us at the time was 30 days, so it would take it back to 30 days if we rescinded our action. Representative Crowe?
Well, and I'd just like to hear from the maker of this motion or from anybody else, the reason that we need to give less time for public testimony, that we need to reverse our action of yesterday. It was just yesterday. It was a fairly large vote, and one I was very comfortable with. The arguments I thought were very good ones yesterday. So what is the reason that it would be important now to give the public less input on this important matter?
Is there any other debate? Mr. Minority Leader?
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Well, you know, the danger of this motion is 30 days is sometime this week. I mean, this public comment period began May 8th, May 9th, and we're pretty much up on June 8th, June 9th kind of time frame. And I just think that 90 days would take us July, August. Now, I know that the governor's people have been out working this hard. I know that. And I just kind of question why, when you have a lame duck administration, or at least one that the polls show is suffering from some pretty terminal bird flu, folks are going to follow it. Let's do what the public needs, and the public needs time. We don't even have adequate time right now. Let's protect the 90 days.
Okay. I explained it wrong, too. I apologize. If the rescinding motion passes, it brings the bill, the amendment back before us, which was the 90-day amendment, then that amendment could be amended if we so chose to do so. So it would just rescind our action in passing it, meaning that it would be back in front of us as it originally was before it was passed. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As we stand here right now, the public is going to get 90 days to comment on the gas line contract, one of the most important events in state history, possibly one of the most important decisions we're going to have to make. If this body decides to reduce that back down to 30 days, that time period is going to run in a few days. The truth is that in the hallways, many of us have agreed we need the 90 days. We know that these special sessions, there's a fair chance, are going to go on until August, because we need the time. And we're working full-time on this. I think it would be a big mistake to give the public less than we give ourselves. I think it would be a big mistake to tell the public that they have less right to input than we do. I think it would be a big mistake to tell the public their own input is less important than our input. And the reality is, I think it would be a big mistake to tell the public, people who work all day, who then have time with their families, who have very little free time afterwards, that they should have 90 days of very little free time to do what we do in 90 days of full-time work. So if we want to treat the public less favorably than we treat ourselves, vote yes. If we want to give the public inadequate time to look at this very important issue, vote yes. But I think what we did yesterday was smart. I think we stood together and did the right thing yesterday. I think we gave the public the amount of time that we want ourselves on this issue, and I think it would be wrong to give the public less time than we're giving ourselves to look at this contract.
Representative Ledoux?
Mr. Speaker, I just can't see any rationale whatsoever for limiting public comment on this. I'm going to vote no.
Other debate? Representative Sisson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I want to speak again to just how important it is for the public to have ample time to speak to this. Last week, I was in Anchorage. On Friday, I did go to the Egan Center to attend the hearings. Went up to the building. There were very expensive, very large signs saying gas pipeline now. Went into the hall. There were no signs saying where to go. No signs on any of the doors. Found out after looking around and trying all the doors that it was downstairs. As you went down the stairs, there were huge big signs that said gas line now, and a whole bevy of tables with lots of literature on gas pipeline now, with a lot of big strong people, and no signs of where you would go to the hearing. It was a matter of having to try different doors again to get to the hearing. And there you had a whole line of people who were ready to talk for several hours, not listen to the public, but talk. And we all sat through those talks. You're talking on a Friday, people who are going to have to take time off of work, they're going to have to get babysitters, or they're going to have someone replace them at work to get to testify about something that they're not really certain about. And as I talked to my constituents, they didn't know what they could say. They didn't. I then came back here on Saturday, and a staffer and I did a web search on the state page and could not find a place where it gave information on where people could testify on one of the most important things that we have on our plate. Mr. Speaker, eventually it was a Google, and I hope no one minds my advertising that search engine, but it was a Google search that finally came up with a location where people could go. Now, the most important thing in this state, and it's not a big thing on the state's webpage, there's something very, very, very wrong here. The people of the state, I can tell you, there's certainly people who are employed in the industry, they know where to go. They weren't searching. But the people of my district who are not employed in the industry, who are not going to be directly getting some profit from this, they don't know, and this is not the way to do it. It's a no.
Mr. Speaker, as you correctly pointed out, the motion would put the amendment back before the body, and I believe the intention here is to seek compromise. So I believe I agree in the main with all the prior speakers about the importance of public the ability of the public to participate in this process. No question about that. But there is an endeavor here to try to find a date that works for the majority of us, and that's the purpose here.
Okay, you ready for the question? The question is, should the House rescind its action in adopting Amendment Number 1? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
14 yeas, 24 nays.
So, with a vote of 14 yeas and 24 nays, the House has failed to rescind from its action in adopting Amendment Number 1. Are there any other amendments? Jane Grover.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move Amendment Number 3, and I believe the staff's distributing it now, but it was given out last night. It's a very simple...
While we wait, we'll stand at ease while we wait for the amendment to be... I understand, but we'll have it on our desk. Okay. Let's come back to order. House, come back to order. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment, if the members would please look to page 2, line 4, would change the statute of limitations for filing an action in court from 60 to 120 days. And the members would contrast the language in the House Judiciary CS with the bill as passed by the other body. They would see on page 2, and I'm referring now to the CSSB 2002 Judiciary, they would see it came over with 120 days. This would simply conform it back to the bill that we got. It's an extremely important amendment, and it is right in line with what we have done. As all the members here are aware, there are very serious constitutional issues with the present gas pipeline that the governor has proposed. One issue that is, I think, eclipses the others, if that's possible, is that it takes away the power of this legislature and the power of the people by initiative to change revenue-raising measures in this field for between 30 and 45 years. And what that will do is considerably change the way this state can operate fiscally and the power of future legislators and voters who are yet unborn. And that is virtually unprecedented. And there is no authority for that anywhere near that we have been cited in the history of the common law. And that is something that the courts need to consider. This additional 60 days that we're requesting in this amendment is simply necessary because the people who will be opposing that constitutional challenge are the three largest companies probably in the world, the oil companies, and the state of Alaska, with virtually a bottomless pit to litigate this. It's not just a question of going down and filing a complaint in the Superior Court. It's a question of assembling a team that could begin to match the legal talent on the other side. It is extremely important. The only authority that really has been cited at all for anything like such a short statute of limitations was when Congress passed the Trans-Alaska Pipeline Act. But there were not anywhere near the constitutional issues involved in that. Congress's power to raise revenue was never threatened. And there was nothing at all like that. Now, there's an issue. We debated this hotly in the Judiciary Committee. But we did not consider what I consider the most chilling scenario that could happen. Because we didn't know about it until we heard the bill that we heard yesterday in Judiciary. There is considerable question whether the governor needs to come to the legislature to confirm his contractual power to enter into this contract. Specifically, my friends, Mr. Speaker, the question is whether that provision in the Stranded Gas Act is unconstitutional, whether it impinges on the governor's power by interjecting the legislature into that process. Let me give you a factual scenario that will chill you. And it's something that happened on the floor of this House 25 years ago. The representative from Nome and I were here at the time, and we saw that. The legislature rejected Governor Hickel's settlement of the Exxon Valdez case. And Governor Hickel end-ran the legislature and did it on his own. That could happen here in a lame duck administration out of control. And it was even more chilling because in that circumstance, in order to effectuate that settlement, a court had to give its approval. But in this case, the governor could enter into a contract without any court approval at all, without any check and balance of the legislature. And this is the only thing that would interject the judiciary into the process and give a real meaningful check on that power. And we've seen it happen in this state, and it could happen again. And that's why the additional 60 days is so important.
That is. House, come back to order. Is there any other debate on amendment number 3, Mr. Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, it is true that we debated this hotly in the Judiciary Committee. And the member from District Attorney spoke very eloquently on it. There are huge issues to look at. And I probably, as a barrister, I don't think I could equal my friend that chairs the Judiciary Committee. But let's be clear. We're talking about whether you have 60 days to formulate a challenge and go put something on the table saying we're going to challenge. It's not that you have 120 days or 60 days to make your whole case. You just have to be able to go up and make a case that there's a reasonable question here. And remember, this is going to be a filing. This is not the time necessarily for discovery, although I think it was said in the Judiciary Committee that there was going to have to be some discovery before you can make that challenge. And it's also true that you have to assemble a team. The 120 days or the 60 days are... at this point, I think not as significant a debate as probably the debate on a constitutionality. But let me just say this. I think 60 days is plenty of time. We have been talking about this issue for well over a year. We've talked, I remember before I came down to the legislature, a lawyer standing on the steps somewhere in Anchorage saying, that they were going to challenge the constitutionality of locking in the oil tax, for example, for 30 years, which is a totally appropriate challenge. And they have been assembling their team all winter long. And so they're just waiting for the day that they can make their challenge once the final contract comes out. So they will be there. The indication that John Q. Public, or I like the word John, so John Q. Public, could make the challenge. And I suppose that's going to, that's a real possibility. Any one of us could be the public interest litigant and would have to go find a lawyer to make our case on the constitutionality of the subject that the member brought up or a whole range of subjects that, really push the limit in this particular contract. But at the same time, you just have to file. You just have to say, I'm going to challenge it. And then you begin the proceedings. And I know people are going to say, well, you need to have all the discovery done before you get there. Mr. Speaker, I submit that all you have to do is get some of the documents that we've been availed of through consultants, through lawyers, through economists, that would give you enough information. I have a very, very thick packet from a member from the other body that makes some pretty strong cases. We've seen other challenges. So. I guess the question that the administration brought before us is, how long do you want to delay? And even the last amendment we had, certainly we want public to be involved. But I can tell you, unless you can expedite your hearing capacity, the possibility of getting it before the court, and remember, it's not the argument before the court, it's just the fact that you go down at the office and put your challenge down on the desk within 60 days of the final contract being brought to you. Remembering that the public process has been demanded, certainly whether or not the legislature should be involved is another legitimate question. But the fact is we are involved, and we've been involved in the discovery both economically, legally, and practically, policy-wise. So it's really at the end of that process that you get to make a challenge. And I think people have formulated opinions both privately and legally. So I think to stretch it out for 120 days, what you're doing is, and if you vote for it, just remember what you're doing. You're not allowing for further discovery, but further delay. And so I'm going to reject the amendment. I think 60 days is plenty of time.
Other debate? Representative Cross.
I hate to stand up on the floor as an expert on this because I'm not. I haven't done this size of litigation ever. But I just wanted to respond to some of my friend the majority leader's points. In most litigation, you have in the years. I mean, you have 2 years to decide whether you bring and formulate on an injury, on a personal injury of some type, or 6 years on a contract. It's not as simple as it was put forward, even in simple cases. How you frame the debate, how you describe what happened, is vital to the whole rest of the issue. You're setting the entire thing up. More importantly, everybody, we have a duty, and we have at various times on this floor, increased the penalties for any frivolous filing. If you, in the rush, make claims that aren't true, assertions that aren't true, positions that aren't true, you can get, and should be, sanctioned for that. It's a very dangerous and tricky business to figure out what you're going to argue and what you can't, what you can put forward and what you can't. Because on the one hand, if you don't, you've lost whole areas of argument. And on the other, if you assert things that you didn't have time to fully check out, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. Now, all that's appropriate. There should be sanctions for people that assert things that later aren't true or that they didn't know enough to know whether are true. But that's the problem in 60 days. How do you go against some of the biggest, I don't think they are absolutely the biggest, but some of the biggest corporations in the world on an extremely complicated issue? And the fact that there's a memo out there or these issues have been discussed, we haven't even yet seen the final form of the contract. The key provision on what fiscal certainty is or isn't is changing even within the last week. So what you do to assert, how you research, how you go and find out what other states have done, depends on what they put before you. I agree with the premise of this bill, that we ought to make the process work very quickly, that we ought to get it up to the Supreme Court, but we ought to get it up to the Supreme Court in a way that is sort of fully formed, that gives both sides the right to, that puts the issue in the best light so the court can do it. And taking 60 days to do a claim of this magnitude, I was originally, I think is insufficient. And I was originally confused. I thought for a second we were redoing the 60-90 fight we had before. This is a totally different issue, and I think people have got it now, but because it took me a while, it's on page 2, line 4. It has nothing to do with the public's comment period. It simply has to do with how long somebody gets to formulate the arguments on this. It'll still go to the Supreme Court. It'll still be done in a quick manner, but it'll be done in a more complete manner. And this is the form this bill came over from the other body, so it's not going to cause any of those problems. The other body has agreed to that. But I think this is more important than was originally described.
Other debate? Representative Sisson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am probably the last person in this body that really ought to be saying this, but then maybe I'm the best because my level of knowledge probably, if you were to use comparisons between myself and some of my members here that have years of experience in taking things to court, would be not nowhere near the difference between this state and the companies that we suddenly now are putting ourselves in partnership by becoming members of the gas line, by being co-owners
of this gas line, we put this state on a pier with other countries that are contracting with oil companies. And the oil companies themselves have the level of power that is equal to countries in their in the vast financial resources they have and the influence they have. We as a state are putting ourselves now on that level, and in this amendment, as I understand it, it's one of those tools that would give us not anywhere near the amount of expertise that we need to have, the time that we need to go up against those mammoth forces that we're planning on partnering with, but that we may. I mean, anybody that's been a part of a partnership in business knows exactly what happens when your partner goes south on you, maybe takes a lot of your assets, and you're trying to make the thing even. I've had lots of friends that have done that and lost not only their shirts, but their everything. Shorts. Yeah, right. Shorts. Yeah. That's it. Well, that's what I don't want this state to do. That's what I don't want my constituents to do, is lose their shorts. The fact is that I was watching the TV, as I know a lot of you were yesterday, when the consultants were speaking to the gas pipeline committee that's held by the other side. And the testimony that was given by one of the consultants was that one of the disadvantages the state has is that we're not privy to, and we would have an almost impossible time getting some of the information that we need to have to make big decisions or to take cases to court and have that information that we need to win the case. I think giving the time to even try to come up with some of that information is really important. And so I will vote for this amendment.
Representative from Nikiski said he could help you with your shorts if you want. Any other debate? Representative Groomberg.
Thank you. If there isn't, I'll wrap it up. And I'd like to respond to really the only speaker on the other side who raised the argument, well, all you have to do is go down and to file a complaint. And the people have been standing around just, quote, waiting for this to happen. Let's talk about how a lawsuit like this would really work. Thank you. Let's talk about how a lawsuit like this would really happen, Mr. Speaker. It's very true that lawyers are sitting around waiting for this challenge to be filed. But who is really waiting and who is really prepared? It's the people who will be defending the contract. It's the high-priced legal talent on the side of the oil companies and the state. They have been dealing with this contract and have been anticipating this for years. And the way a lawsuit like this works is this. And the representative from Kodiak and I were talking about this in the lounge yesterday. She said to me, and if I'm taking her name in vain, please correct me, that in every single lawsuit, they raise the statute of limitations as an affirmative defense, even if there is no such possibility. And what I'm saying is that the people defending this contract will absolutely have their paperwork ready to go on motions to dismiss, summary judgments, discovery motions, and everything else possible. And they'll try to outpaper the plaintiffs. And it'll be a very unfair lawsuit. And that's why it's not just filing the paper. It's being ready to instantly defend against a paper war. And that's the way they win. It's like any other war. As my friends on the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee know, that you win and lose wars based on supply and attrition. You just outproduce, outspend, and outpaper the other side in a case like this. And that's why the additional 60 days is so important, so that they can begin to assemble their meager forces, which will protect our Constitution and our taxpayers. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment number 3 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
19 yeas, 19 nays.
So the vote of 19 yeas and 19 nays, Amendment number 3 has failed to pass the House. Representative Grover, at ease. House, come back to order. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
I have amendment number 4 by Representatives Curtula and Croft.
Representative Curtula.
I move the amendment.
There is an objection, Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, there was quite a bit of discussion about the concepts behind this. This is an effort at compromise, although I must admit it's quite a compromise, but to extend the filing time to 90 days from 60, it's a bare 30 days more. You know, Mr. Speaker, we're talking about a filing deadline now of 6 years for a contract action. This brings it down to mere 3 months. And we've had a lot of discussion about what it takes to put together a case like this, but one of the things I want to briefly mention is there's a lot that goes on when you're putting a case together in terms of talking to the other side, trying to reach compromise, trying to figure out how to structure the case, and the concept of working with the other side goes right out the window when you start to limit it down. So, you know, it's a reach out for compromise. I think the 90 days is way too fast, but in an effort to get a little more reasonable, I thought I'd give this to the body. Thank you.
Another debate. Representative McGuire.
Yeah, and I want to put a few things on the record for people to think about. It may well be a fair compromise. I think the 120 days is too much, but I want to point out the reasons why I think that and what we discussed in judiciary. First of all, it needs to be noted that the point at which the action commences is after the execution of the contract. So that's important for people to understand because there are months and months, years, really, of discussion, debate, not only through the public comment period, which has been extended, but through the legislative process, through the part that we have in going through and giving that up or down vote to that contract. So there's a tremendous amount of exposure given to the issue by the point at which this action would commence. That's the first point I want to make. The second is that there is a precedent for it. When the Trans-Alaska Pipeline Act went into effect, and granted it was on a federal level, the 60-day limit was what was put into effect. It's actually very similar to what you see in this piece of legislation, which does a lot more things that we haven't really talked about. I mean, the fundamental point of the legislation is to give original jurisdiction to the Supreme Court. And so the Trans-Alaska Pipeline Act did that, and it put the 60 days. And part of that, Mr. Speaker, was to give some amount of certainty. And so what we're trying to do here is strike a balance. There's a balance between allowing those individuals who would like to bring a claim to have a fair chance to do that. That's appropriate. But on the other side, whether it's this governor or some future governor who might be even sitting on this floor today, whether it's these three companies or whether it's other companies, I hope that someday Alaska has a gas pipeline. And if we're going to have a gas pipeline, the laws that we're making today are setting up the structure for the future of negotiating those contracts. And so the kinds of individuals, the kind of companies that could put forward the billions of dollars that would go into this kind of a contract are few. And they're looking at projects all around the world, all around the world, and they're trying to decide where they want to invest their money and their risk. It's a risky proposition. It's a mega project, as it's been described. And so when you're looking at setting these time limits, what you're saying to them is, at some point, there will be certainty. At some point, you can expect that all the claims that are out there will be filed, that you'll be able to respond to them and go through that very arduous, expensive, time-consuming litigation to arrive at the result. And so that's what it's about. That's why we have statute of limitations, so that, Mr. Speaker, so that if anyone has committed a tort, have done a wrong, that at some point they can sort of move on with their life and know that is cut off and that there's certainty to it. So I don't strongly object to the 90 days. It may be a fair compromise. I think you all know me to be that kind of a person that will look around and see that maybe this is the fair balance to reach on the floor today. 120 days was too much in my opinion, but I want to focus members' attention on what we're doing here, that it isn't just a political soundbite, that what we're doing is setting up a structure that will hopefully build us a gas pipeline one day.
Very good. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall amendment number 4 pass the House? Members, please vote. Representative Guerra? Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
28 yeas, 10 nays.
So with a vote of 28 yeas and 10 nays, Amendment number 4 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
That brings us back to third reading and under reconsideration. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Committee substitute, Fourth Committee substitute for Senate Bill 2002, amended on the floor of the House, pass the House. Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 2 nays.
So the vote of 36 yeas and 2 nays. House may substitute for May substitute Senate Bill 2002 has passed the House. That board is a little bit malfunctioning over there. Okay. Are you still on brief of these here? Are you still on for special?
Sure, I move an unanimous consent that roll call vote on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 2002 Judiciary amended the House under reconsideration be considered a roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Representative Cott.
Mr. Speaker, I seek the floor on the point of personal privilege to talk about another member.
Without objection, under personal privilege.
Mr. Speaker, I would be remiss if prior to adjournment of our special session, which could end today or tomorrow, as you know, if I didn't take a moment to recognize the departure of one of the members from this body, and that is my good friend from District 28, the House Judiciary Chair. Since I first introduced her to the legislature, this is way back, not way back, but a few years back, in 1999, as my judiciary counsel, she's been a champion for children and education. I think the members of the Judiciary Committee recognize that she has surely been reasonable, impartial, sometimes mostly impartial to all of us. She's fair in her jurisprudence. She has a tolerance and compassion for Alaskans in general. She is what I would call a very fiscal conservative, yet very moderate in her fairness, I think, to the issues that we've all faced and certainly to us who have served with her on the House Judiciary Committee. Mr. Speaker, she certainly, as evidenced today, has eloquent debate style. She's very courteous and decorum, and her leadership has been certainly insurmountable over the few years that I've had an opportunity to serve with her and have her work for me. Mr. Speaker, I know that she will certainly be missed in this body. And I might add that she did all this, chair of the Judiciary Committee, kind of juggling that responsibility while also juggling the responsibility of motherhood. And I only can remember one other person who shared those same responsibilities and did that, and that was the President of the Senate, who's now gone on to Washington, D.C. So, Mr. Speaker, I just want to voice my support for all of her future endeavors and a vote of thanks for everything that she's done for me and for this body. So, thank you.
Very nice. Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Never know if it'll be the last time to speak on the floor, so just want to take a minute to say thank you very much for those comments, and to say thank you to all of you. I have learned so much in my 6 years from every one of you, and chairing the Judiciary Committee has been an honor. It has been very challenging some days. I want to say a special thanks to the two minority members that I serve with on that committee. They have really helped in my personal growth. I've learned to appreciate their opinions and to grow from them. And then I want to thank my wingmen over the years, the majority leader who sits in front of me, the Labor and Commerce chairman who's leaving, the gentleman behind me at one point, and certainly my good friend over here from Fairbanks, who have fought with me in the trenches in ways that, you know, what we do down in the Judiciary Committee room isn't that exciting to most. But it's a place where very serious issues are undertaken, people's constitutional rights and things that should matter to all of us. And I just appreciate those that have served with me down in the trenches. And I am so proud of this body, so proud of how people work across the aisle, the family, the friendship. Having a baby this year and coming back in 2 weeks is really hard. And the support that I had from everyone here just really demonstrated to me that people really are in it for more than themselves, and they're here to serve. And I look forward to seeing all of you continue in your service and the legacies that you'll leave. I've been a part of some of them, but I know there'll be more to come. Thank you.
Okay, with that, the House...
Mr. Speaker, one more point of personal privilege.
No objection.
Mr. Speaker, I have a State of Alaska voter registration application here. And we have a member on our floor who is turning 18 today. And so, Mr. Speaker, I hate to do this in front of the camera, but... And I won't hand-deliver it to the young lady, but I just thought you might want to know that we should all, somewhere along the day, wish a happy birthday to Miss Catherine Moss. And then this is available to her. She's been a very faithful servant to us here in this special session as one of our pages.
You cannot say how she registers the vote.
Happy birthday.
Mr. Speaker?
Now that we've kind of represented home.
No. Could we all please sing happy birthday?
Under personal privilege? Sure.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Catherine. Happy birthday to you.
And under introduction of guests, you need to introduce her mother back there, John. You didn't do that, so he's busy reading something there. So, all right, with that, now I think everybody's got their personal privileges taken care of, I hope. The House will stand in recess to the call of the chair.